We have all heard of ghosts, and we have all heard of homicide detectives. But what if a ghost could come back and solve their own murder? Some ghostly phenomena seem to go beyond just fleeting glimpses of apparitions and strange goings-on. There are cases out there that seem to truly transcend the weird. And high among these are those tales in which ghosts have apparently solved their own murders. Today, we're going to talk about those that reach out through the unknown to make their mark felt upon the world of the living. Before we get started today, I just want to give you a quick reminder that we have two channels, A Stranger World Than Fiction, and we also have They Call Me the Ghost, A Stranger World Than Fiction, where we talk about all things strange. It's really a conversation. Secondly, we have They Call Me the Ghost, and that is where I, the ghost, share a lot of my on-the-job experiences, real and outrageous jobs that actually do happen. And don't forget to check out our podcast, also A Stranger World Than Fiction and They Call Me the Ghost. So if you are into all things strange, outrageous, crazy, and mysterious, and you like them in story format, that's what we do here, and you're in the right place. All right, let's get to it. Our story here takes place in Greenbrier County, West Virginia, where in 1896, a woman by the name of Zona Heaster found herself swept off her feet by an older man, a blacksmith, Edward Shue. The two began a whirlwind romance, much to the consternation of her overprotective mother, Mary Jane Heaster, who was not only against their age difference, but she also had issues with the fact that Shue had been married two times before. Despite this, the two were married against their mother's wishes, and they settled down. Things seemed to have gone well for the first month, but then 3 months later, things would spiral out of control into a dark tale of murder, conspiracies, and ghosts. On January 23rd, 1897, a young boy was sent to Zona and Edward's home on an errand. However, no one seemed to be home. The boy let himself in, tentatively calling out to see if anyone was at home, and that was when he came across Zona's dead body crumpled on the floor at the foot of the stairs, her eyes wide open and staring lifelessly up at the ceiling as if in terror. The frightened boy went home to tell his mother about his gruesome discovery, but a doctor by the name of George W. Knapp was not able to arrive at the rural location for a full hour. By the time Knapp arrived, Shue had moved the body upstairs to lay her on her bed, change her clothes into a high-neck dress, and place a veil over her face. Shue was described as deep in grief, cradling his dead wife's head and sobbing uncontrollably, as Knapp did a cursory examination of the body. Oddly, when Knapp tried to do a more thorough examination, Shue forbade it, practically pushing the doctor away, but not before he noticed some odd bruising about Zona's neck. Knapp would make a preliminary judgment that Zona had died from what was called everlasting faint, which could be a lot of things, and then he changed it to childbirth, which doesn't make any sense considering that it is an unknown fact if she was pregnant, and she'd only been married to Shue for 3 months. Nevertheless, this became the official verdict, despite the fact that Zona's mother was not convinced and allegedly claimed that the devil has killed her. Zona was given a proper burial, and throughout all of this, Shue was described as being deeply in shock and in grief. At the time, there was absolutely no reason to suspect that he had any hand in his wife's death, and there was not so much as a whispered rumor that he had anything to do with it. However, his behavior at the funeral would be seen as, well, a bit odd. He jealously guarded the corpse and let no one approach it too closely, and it would, in retrospect, be seen as strange that her neck had been wrapped in a scarf, which he explained as being her favorite. In spite of all of this, at that time, the only one who regarded him as suspicious was Zona's mother, who was thoroughly convinced that there was indeed something shady going on. She learned that one of Shue's previous wives had died under mysterious circumstances, although he had never been charged, and she would also claim that she heard voices in her head telling her that he killed her. She would secretly remove the sheet from the body and bring it home to find that the water in the basin turned red when she tried to wash it, and the sheet turned pink. She took this bizarre turn of events as a sign from God that Shu had killed their daughter, but there was little she could do about it at the time. She took to praying every day for some sign that could help her confirm her suspicions. And that was when the story would become strange indeed. One evening, Mary Jane had an extremely potent dream in which her daughter Zona appeared to her. In this dream, Zona told her that Shu had been a violent tyrant of a husband, frequently beating her and abusing her. And not only that, she claimed that Shu had murdered her in a fit of rage. Over the next 4 nights, Zona would go on to explain that Shu had become enraged over a meal one evening in which she had not made him any meat. One thing had led to another, and he grabbed her by the throat, and then he snapped her neck, which the phantom underscored by turning her head completely around. These dreams were so vivid and so real that Heaster was convinced that her daughter was actually coming back from the dead just to talk to her. And despite how crazy it really did sound, she turned around and ended up telling all of this to the county prosecuting attorney. His name was John Alfred Preston. The attorney didn't really buy into the story of ghosts, but still, he asked Knapp if he had noticed anything weird about this corpse. When Knapp confirmed that he had actually not been allowed to do a detailed examination because of Shu, red flags went up and the attorney went about getting the body exhumed for a more thorough examination. The body was exhumed and it was examined by two other doctors who took no time at all to find that there were bruises in the shapes of fingers on the throat. The windpipe had been crushed and the neck broken. Zona Heaster had indeed been murdered. Shu was immediately arrested on charges of murdering his wife and a trial ensued. By this time, the stories of Heaster seeing the ghost of her daughter accusing him had heavily made the rounds around the entire town, so the trial was a bit of a media circus. After all, here we have a murderer who had been fingered by the ghost of his own victim, and whether one believed in ghosts or not, this was very compelling stuff for anyone. When the trial did get underway, Heaster's attorney, Preston, wisely downplayed the paranormal event to the tale, although Shu's defense leaned into it heavily, attempting to make Heaster out to be a loon and an unreliable witness. Amazingly, this backfired, and people began to really believe her bizarre story, despite the judge's constant pleas to disregard any testimony regarding this ghost. Well, through it all, Shu smugly assumed that there was not enough evidence against him, that it was all circumstantial at best. So it must have been quite the surprise for him when the jury quickly and unanimously found him guilty and sentenced him to life in prison. As Shu languished in jail, things got a bit exciting when a lynch mob formed and tried to forcibly break him out to face vigilante justice. This failed, and he spent the next 3 years rotting away until the flu got him in March of 1900, with no one claiming his body and him being buried alone. Heaster would stand by her story all the way to her own death in September of 1916. The whole weird affair of what has come to be known as the Greenbrier Ghost has gone on to be legendary in the region and is proudly advertised on a historical marker in the area as the only known case in which testimony from a ghost helped convict a murderer. It has become the focus of several ghost tours, and this is all talked about still today. I'm curious what you think really happened here. Share your thoughts, and thank you for listening. And until next time, I will talk to you all soon.